hunger and want of sleep and expensive strength. But he struggled against it, forcing himself to raise up a light mage wind into the sail and follow down the dark seaway where the shadow had fled. All terror was gone. All joy was gone. It was a chase no longer. He was neither hunted nor hunter now. For the third time they had met and touched, he had of his own will turned to the shadow, seeking to hold it with living hands. He had not held it, but he had forged between them a bond, a link that had no breaking point. There was no need to hunt the thing down, to track it, nor would its flight avail it. Neither could escape. When they had come to the time and place for their last meeting, they would meet. But until that time, and elsewhere than that place, there would never be any rest or peace for Ged, day or night, on earth or sea. He knew now, and the knowledge was hard, that his task had never been to undo what he had done, but to finish what he had begun. He sailed out from between the dark cliffs, and on the sea was broad, bright morning with a fair wind blowing from the north. He drank what water he had left in the sealskin pouch, and steered around the westernmost headland until he came into a wide strait between it and a second island lying to the west. Then he knew the place, calling to mind sea charts of the East Reach. These were the Hands, a pair of lonely isles that reached their mountain fingers northward toward the Kharged lands. He sailed on between the two, and as the afternoon darkened with storm clouds coming up from the north, he came to shore on the southern coast of the West Isle. He had seen there was a little village there above the beach where a stream came tumbling down to the sea, and he cared little what welcome he got if he could have water, fire's warmth, and sleep. The villagers were rough, shy people, awed by a wizard's staff, wary of a strange face, but hospitable to one who came alone, over sea, before a storm. They gave him meat and drink in plenty, and the comfort of firelight and the comfort of human voices speaking his own Hardic tongue, and last and best they gave him hot water to wash the cold and saltness of the sea from him, and a bed where he could sleep. Chapter 9. Ithish. Ged spent 3 days in that village of the West Hand, recovering himself and making ready a boat built not of spells and sea-rack, but of sound wood, well-pegged and caulked, with a stout mast and sail of her own, that he might sail easily and sleep when he needed. Like most boats of the north and the reaches, she was clinker-built, with planks overlapped and clenched one upon the other for strength in the high seas. Every part of her was sturdy and well-made. Ged reinforced her wood with deep inwoven charms, for he thought he might go far in that boat. She was built to carry 2 or 3 men, and the old man who owned her said that he and his brothers had been through high seas and foul weather with her, and she had ridden all gallantly. Unlike the shrewd fishermen of Gaunt, this old man, for fear and wonder of his wizardry, would have given the boat to Ged. But Ged paid him for it in sorcerer's kind, healing his eyes of the cataracts that were in the way of blinding him. Then the old man, rejoicing, said to him, "We call the boat Sanderling, but do you call her Lookfar, and paint eyes aside her prow, and my thanks will look out of that blind wood for you, and keep you from rock and reef. For I had forgotten how much light there is in the world, till you gave it back to me." Other works Ged also did in his days in that village, under the steep forests of the Hand, as his power came back into him. These were such people as he had known as a boy in the northward vale of Gaunt, though poorer even than those. With them he was at home, as he would never be in the courts of the wealthy, and he knew their bitter wants without having to ask. So he laid charms of heal and ward on children who were lame or sickly, and spells of increase on the villagers' scrawny flocks of goats and sheep. He set the rune Simn on the spindles and looms, the boat's oars and tools of bronze and stone they brought him, that these might do their work well. And the rune Per he wrote on the roof trees of the huts, which protects the house and its folk from fire, wind, and madness. When his boat Lukfar was ready and well stocked with water and dried fish, he stayed yet one more day in the village to teach to their young chanter the deed of Morad and the Havnorian lay. Very seldom did any archipelagan ship touch at the hands. Songs made 100 years ago were news to those villagers, and they craved to hear of heroes. Had Ged been free of what was laid on him, he would gladly have stayed there a week or a month to sing them what he knew, that the great songs might be known on a new isle. But he was not free, and the next morning he set sail, going straight south over the wide seas of the Reach, for southward the shadow had gone. He need cast no finding charm to know this. He knew it as certainly as if a fine, unreeling cord bound him and it together, no matter what miles and seas and lands might lie between. So he went, certain, unhurried, and unhopeful on the way he must go, and the wind of winter bore him to the south. He sailed a day and a night over the lonesome sea, and on the second day he came to a small isle, which they told him was called Vemish. The people in the little port looked at him askance, and soon their sorcerer came hurrying. He looked hard at Ged, and then he bowed, and said in a voice that was both pompous and wheedling, "Lord Wizard, forgive my temerity, and honor us by accepting of us anything you may need for your voyage. Food, drink, sailcloth, rope. My daughter is fetching to your boat at this moment a brace of fresh roasted hens. I think it prudent, however, that you continue on your way from here as soon as it meets your convenience to do so. The people are in some dismay for not...